Good evening, everybody. We are on the set of Looney Tunes back in action because I don't think anybody's ever even seen that movie. I don't know if it has a set or what. I would assume it's better than Space Jam, but I've never seen it, so I couldn't tell you. I know Joe Dante directed it, though. And because one of my favorite games of all time, Alan Wake, had a sequel announced that's coming out this year, in honor of that, we decided to do an episode that has absolutely nothing to do with Alan Wake. And instead, we're going to be talking about, that's right, G2. Gremlins 2, everybody.
It's G2, people.
So, strap in or strap on and
prepare for the ride.
Prepare to die.
Millicent Oriana, culture expert. While seeking to unlock the secrets of all fandoms, she is exposed to an overload of every aspect of pop culture. Now, when asked a question about a piece of popular culture, she becomes curious. Now hosting a podcast and joined by amazing guests, she seeks to find answers and find a way to live off her talents and to make a fun podcast.
Don't make me ask questions, Joe Dante. You used up all of your goodwill in the last 30 years. Like, what? No! No! All right, so of course, as we discussed, we're going to be talking about Gremlins 2 tonight. As always, I am joined by my co-host,
Jacob Urban.
And my producer,
Sophia Baca.
And,
well, I know I'm saying Sophia Baca.
And Sophia, of course, is the host of Breaking Math. If you're not already listening to it, give that a listen if you like math. Well, everybody should like math. But moving on, can't get enough of that sweet, sweet math in our oil burners, right?
Euler published an average of one paper a day for 50 years.
Was he on math?
He was probably on a lot of coffee. A lot of that work was done actually when he was blind, so he just like was screaming at his nephews and having them write shit down.
Okay, so as you can hear, this is an actual podcast about mathematics and not methamphetamines. So do give it a listen if you ever can. And speaking of methamphetamines, Jacob made a very interesting discovery a few weeks ago. What was that Facebook group you were showing us?
Oh, no, it was that
Reddit page.
Reddit page. It was the conservative meth users page.
Yeah, it was meth without the communism.
Yeah, it was like meth without socialism or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it was meth without communism. And
yeah.
It was just a bunch of sad people smoking meth at each other.
Wearing MAGA hats and
And then the regular one was just as sad but like less hateful.
Yeah,
it was real weird. Like, we had to compare the two communities because...
And, yeah, they were both really sad, but one was sad and angry, and the other one was just sad.
Yeah. Don't do meth.
Yeah, don't do meth, and don't join right-wing groups.
But do watch G2, because you need to suffer with us.
Oh my God.
Like, this is what we fundamentally came to about the movie. Should we wait until the end?
Yeah, we can talk about it at the end, but I will give it one spoiler. What the fuck? So, when we start the movie, it starts off in New York's Chinatown, and you have the old Chinese guy that...
No, that's not what started the movie. There was that Daffy Duck thing.
God. Oh, I forgot about that.
I know.
Oh, I forgot.
I know. Because it didn't matter at all. It was such a weird fucking placement.
Well, if I'm not going to star in this cartoon, we might as well just start the movie. Roll them.
Yeah.
What was a cartoon about it?
It wasn't even a cartoon. It was like 15 seconds. It opened up with the...
It was like a minute.
Okay.
Of Daffy Duck just yelling at
the
opening.
Yeah, it opened up with the Warner Brothers, the animated Warner Brothers logo, and Bugs Bunny eating the carrot.
And the Merry Melodies theme.
Yeah. And Daffy Duck's like, not this time. You've been doing it for 30 years or whatever. And I don't know what that number was. And then he just yells for like a minute as he... hijacks the intro. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to Chinatown. Just nothing to do with the rest of the movie. It was just there.
So we get to Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the old man that sold the Mogwai to the father in the first movie. And there's this evil company with a man on a TV screen telling him, like, he has, like, these goons lift the TV into his office and put it down. And they're all just sitting there, like, and he's talking to him, like, you know, ah, I'm the man on the TV screen, and I want to buy your store to build my ugly Chinese building that, you know, was built by a American company. And
I'm prepared to increase my offer substantially. Now, Mr. Wing, you're attached to your business. I appreciate that. I'm attached to my business. I develop the biggest buildings in New York, and you sell little things. Well, that's fine.
And it was this whole thing. So old Chinese guy croaks.
Yeah, he was refusing to sell. He didn't want to give up his property. And basically the old white dude, or not even old white dude, the evil white dude just wanted
Sorry, I just need to let the dogs in.
Yeah, he's refusing to sell, and they, like, tell him to keep the TV. And he's like, TV is a tool of an idiot and all this stuff, and Gizmo won't stop watching it. And we see him watching Rambo. And Rambo says one of his, like, you know, chestnuts, like,
survive a war. You gotta become war.
Oh, this is important.
Yeah, this is gonna be important later, and that right there, just saying that a clip from another movie is gonna be important later in this, it hurts.
It is a movie.
It is stressful.
It's a very stressful movie to watch.
Me and Millie went to bed immediately after watching the movie. We were tired as hell.
Yeah, it was stressful. I've been angrier at movies. I've been more upset with movies. I've been more like, I've been almost every other emotion with other movies. I've never been so stressed out by a movie. I've never wanted to scream as much as I did watching Gremlins 2.
And that's the thing. There's no stakes. We were just watching it.
Yeah.
There was no stakes. We were just watching it, and that's how this came to happen.
Yeah, because I showed Sophia Gremlins, and it was like, yeah, this is so good. And I was like, I remember something about Gremlins 2 being bad, but I haven't seen it in like 20 years. So.
Yeah, the most recent thing we had watched was that Key and Peele sketch.
Yeah, which...
Which I was like, yeah, all those things do happen.
Yeah, all those things did happen in the movie, and I remember them all happening.
We got the Hulkster in this bitch, so it's done. I don't have any more time, so let me just recap right now. It's Brainy Gremlin, Spider Gremlin, Bat Gremlin, Lady Gremlin, Googly Eye Gremlin, Electricity Gremlin, Hulk Hogan's gonna be in the picture. I'm gonna throw in a gremlin myself. Vegetable Gremlin!
Yeah, I remembered them all happening.
Yeah.
But when you put them all together, plus the things they left out...
All the things they left out, the more important things. Like, getting back to it, okay, so eventually the building gets smashed, and Gizmo starts running away, and, you know, it's these really bad effects, and he's like, I'm like... You know,
it's daytime
and he goes out in the daylight and he's just kind of wandering around New York City.
Now, if you remember from the first Gremlins, that was one of the rules, is they couldn't go in the daylight.
Just obey the rules. That's all.
Oh, the rules.
Yeah, that was like one of the important things about Mogwai and Gremlins, is that sunlight killed them.
Remember the first one? Don't let them get exposed to bright light, especially sunlight, because it kills them.
Right.
Yeah, they can't go in the daylight, but here he is running in that alley.
Yeah, it's a little overcasty, but it's still the freaking
daytime.
The
rules still apply.
Oh, the rules.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's a sequel. It passed through a time portal. I don't know. I can't justify this.
It was WB shitting out a movie.
Yeah, pretty much. And, okay, so we get to Gizmo wandering around in the middle of the day, and... This weird guy, who it turns out is the security guard that got a free brain massage from the T-1000 in Terminator 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's the guy who finds Gizmo.
Yeah, he's the one who finds Gizmo. And we find out that whole guy's gimmick is that he has a twin brother. That's how they pulled off that scene in T2 when he gets the free brain massage.
Yeah. Yeah, they're twins and they're actors, and that's their whole thing.
Yeah, which I also saw the same goofy trick in Darkman.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers Darkman.
Darkman's amazing.
It really is. It's so terrible, but it's so much fun.
He was just yelling at a cat.
He's just yelling at a cat.
What am I? Huh? Some kind of a circus freak? Is that it? Is that it? Some kind of a freak? Maybe I should be wearing a funny little hat. Do you like it?
That scene when he gets blown out of the building and he's all, it's like the worst like effect ever.
Yes, but there's a substantial part of the movie that is just Liam Neeson in an abandoned warehouse yelling at a cat.
Which I would take.
Oh God, I forgot about that. How do I forget about all this?
I would take that.
Over this.
Oh, he was talking about Darkman.
Yeah, I was talking about Darkman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got confused for a second.
No,
that was not in Gremlins 2. Yeah. That would have made a movie
better.
It would have made it better, but somehow make it make less sense.
Yeah, so Darkman. Okay, I'm going to say right now, I would take a million Darkman and a million of that really boring movie where Liam Neeson punches the wolf. Like, I would take those two movies over Gremlins 2.
Oh, the one where he punches the wolf is just depressing.
Yeah, but it's like,
why is he punching wolves?
It's because the wolves are gonna eat him.
Yeah, him and his friends are being hunted by a pack of wolves in Alaska because they're like plane crashed or some shit.
I see.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's called The Gray.
Yeah, it looked better in the trailers.
Oh. Yeah, it looked better in the trailer. It looked like he was gonna fight wolves, but that is not what happened.
Speaking of probably looking better in the trailers, what happened next in Gremlins 2?
Yeah, getting back to Gremlins 2. And again, I'd take a million bad Liam Neeson movies over this. So getting back to Gremlins 2, we get to the lab that Gizmo gets taken to by the weird twins. And Christopher Lee runs the lab and Howie Mandel works there. So, you know, get ready for comedy.
But also, just inexplicably, it's Christopher Lee.
Just rabies. I've got rabies. And I'm supposed to get the flu this week.
And also, Christopher Lee appears for a total of like a minute and a half of total screen time.
A little more like 5 minutes.
Like 5 minutes.
Yeah, like five. Yeah,
like 5 minutes of screen time. Like, obviously, they shot all of his scenes in a day.
He never was all in the same set.
Yeah, he never leaves the set he's on.
Or changes the clothing.
Yeah, never changes costume, never leaves the set
he's
on.
Does he carry the same prop? Am I mistaken?
No.
Okay.
No, he has different props throughout it. Yeah. But yeah, they probably took like 6 hours to film all this stuff and then he was done.
Yeah, and this lab, they take things that they've gene spliced and made into things and they like make it into juice. That you can drink.
For some reason.
And, like, I guess electricity is also a gene.
Yeah, electricity is inexplicably a gene. Vegetables are a gene.
Spiders are a gene.
Which, yeah.
I mean, that one kind of makes a little bit of sense. Same with the vegetables, but not really.
And also, like, the effects are so all over the place. Speaking of, because the vegetable gremlin, like, is cool sometimes looking. Like, I mean, like, you know, it's not.
Well, that's because it's a puppet. So it really depends on the angle you're viewing it from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But remember how, like, some of the effects were actually pretty good in the movie?
Yeah, no, that's the thing that sucked. Okay, that upset me more about this movie than anything else is that some of the effects were good. Yeah.
All right, so that's where we were at. Gizmo, you know, is with these guys, and they're pretty scary. Now we cut to Billy, and he's working in the same building somehow, and he's still with his little girlfriend from the Wonder Years, and
she works in the building, too.
And there's all this sci-fi bullshit going on with the building that really is just completely out of place.
Mister, welcome to the men's room. Hey, pal. Hope you wash those hands.
It doesn't make any sense at all. It's all needless.
It looks like somebody hasn't read his employee manual. Doesn't it, Mr. Peltzer? Unauthorized potted plant.
It's like the super high-tech building that they're in and everything.
It's like a smart building before that concept was real.
Yeah.
Because it's like fully computerized and like the doors are automated and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Billy eventually finds Gizmo, and that's after the whole corporate speak thing with him designing the Chinatown Park and them being like, it's not good.
Oh.
And then the owner coming and being like, it's great.
And I would like to mention that, like, I guess he was the head of security, is played by Robert Picardo, who was the doctor on Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, and that's a point that also needs to be made, and it will come up later.
It comes up later.
Yeah, it comes up later.
Because he's he's more than, like, he's like a kind of reoccurring character in the movie.
Yeah. And so we get to, the corporate guy's like, I like this drawing.
This is excellent.
Isn't that terrific?
You've captured the whole essence of the project right here. Look at the kids with the kites. That's warmth. I like warmth.
And Billy's like, oh, thanks. And then they're all like, oh, Billy, we should all just get down on our knees and start sucking your dick.
Oh, he called you Bill. This is very big, Billy. This is a career opportunity advancement window for both of us.
Do you really think so?
Clearly. We can talk about it at dinner.
Even though just a minute ago we were telling you that you suck.
Listen, Marla, I am doing the best that I can.
Billy, do me a favor. Do better.
Yeah, and like the boss, I don't even think knew his name.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, he likes you.
Yeah, and like, so he tells his girlfriend that he's going to be busy, like, going out on a date with his boss, which is, like, really weird, too, because it makes you feel like...
Federal law really only recognizes two types of sexual harassment, quid pro quo and hostile work environment.
Really wrong.
No, he does. He lies to her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's such a good guy. Billy's great in this movie.
That's right. He doesn't tell her what he's actually doing.
Yeah, he just lies to her.
Yeah, that's right, because he's a great guy. And so, lo and behold, he goes out on a date with her and all that, blah, blah, blah. It's really not that important. Gizmo bumps into the water cooler. Dun, dun, dun!
No, he doesn't bump into it. The dipshit janitor is like...
Oh, yeah, screwing around with the water fountain.
I told him not to put the new units in. Really gonna listen to him, right? $375
Yeah, and it's spraying like super high pressured water closer and closer to him.
And he's not moving.
Yeah, he's not running from it, even though Gizmo knows this is what happens.
Yeah, and he's just sitting there looking at it like,
like he backs up like two steps.
And then it hits him and he multiplies, and we get all these new Mogwai, and another Mohawk one that just inexplicably hates him already.
And it looks exactly like the first Mohawk one, because it's the same puppet.
So why did he hold down the button on the water fountain?
Okay, because he was stupid.
Yeah, because the janitor was stupid.
Because the plot required it?
Yes. The janitor was stupid, and the plot required it.
Like, he wasn't even doing it. He's, like, just holding the button down. And then, like, he'd crank it, and it would shoot even further.
And then he kept cranking it and shooting it further.
And that direction. It's like, well, obviously, that's not helping, you dumb shit.
And this is a place where people are sketching and stuff like that. There are art supplies everywhere. And it's like, you're going to get fired. Why are you doing this?
Jeez. He was a terrible janitor. Like, that guy should have been fired.
Oh, yeah.
You just do shitty jobs, apparently.
Yeah, so the girlfriend gets there, and they've already shoved Gizmo in the vent because they don't like him.
Yeah, the other gremlins do.
Just inexplicably.
Or Mogwai at this point.
Yeah, don't like him right away.
Yeah, just don't like him right away.
Yeah, and it's like, what? So, like, does Gizmo...
Is it genetic memory?
Does,
like,
he hate himself so much that his offspring, like,
immediately
want to
kill
him?
Like,
what's going on there? So we get...
This movie raises so many questions and answers none of them.
Okay, we all look at, we're all holding our hands like up.
Like in a stress position.
Yeah, like I think let's breathe.
Yeah, okay, let's breathe.
Sorry I cut you off, but this movie makes you question so much.
Okay, so we don't just get one, but two gremlins. Whose whole purpose is to look stupid as fuck, which in the Key and Peele sketch, they bring up the googly-eyed gremlin. I'm going to say right now, the googly-eyed gremlin is the less stupid of the two.
Yeah, it's the less annoying one.
Yeah, there's one with buck teeth that just sits there going, oh, oh. And it's like, God, why do you have two gremlins whose whole purpose is to look stupid?
Aren't there other gremlins that do basically the same thing too?
Later.
But okay. Yeah, so now there's like six Mogwai. And so that girl is like, she's not as smart as she was in the first one. And I don't remember her name. I know she was in the Wonder Years. I don't
remember
the
girlfriend's name either.
I don't even know the actor that plays Billy's name. So we're just going to refer to him as Billy and the girlfriend. Or the girl from the Wonder Years. And so she like, she's like way dumber than she was in the first one.
Trouble with her is the noise.
Yeah, like even though this the googly-eyed gremlin looks nothing like Gizmo, she just goes with it and is like, oh, this is Gizmo.
Yeah, this is Gizmo. He's acting like weird and insane and like,
aggressive and
yeah.
Like, just imagine if like your pet one day it woke up and it had like a completely different coat. That would be freaky.
And a different personality, and it was a different breed almost.
It'd be like, it's not like biting at you. And...
Yeah, because it's a different dog.
Yeah. It's a different dog completely, yeah.
Because you had, like, a dachshund, and now it's a Pomeranian.
Yeah. Dachshund, and now it's, like, a Pomeranian, yeah. Yeah, it's like, it was like a short-haired dachshund.
Yeah.
And now like it's a Pomeranian.
Yeah.
Completely different dog.
It's completely different.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, so she takes this one home. And during that time, all of the Mogwai eat after midnight at some point.
Like, the movie... Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
Oh, no, you're cool.
I'm very sorry about that. No, but the movie does a very bad job at telling you what... establishing what time it is. Because you're just locked inside this big corporate structure building, and there are no clocks, there are no outside, like, establishing shots.
And the restaurants inside are still open, so it's, yeah. Like, clearly not, like, 1 a.m, because, I mean, maybe it is, but, like...
But they have to establish that this building's open all night at some point. We don't know that going into this.
Yeah, we don't. Oh, and there's also this weird guy that's dressed like Grandpa Munster for some reason.
Oh, yeah, and he's Billy's friend.
And he, like, hosts a horror show at 3 a.m,
and he's, like, the tell-like-it-is douche.
Yeah, and he's he's one of the two closest things to a likable character we get in the movie.
Yes.
That is true.
Yeah, so we have this guy, and the other one's the corporate douche, which we'll go into in a little bit. So we get, like, them, and, you know, we get these Mogwai eating, and everybody's like, there are rats in the food. And next thing you know, the Mogwai are now gremlins.
Yeah, they're just all of a sudden in the basement, and they're in their pods turning into gremlins.
Yeah, and somehow the googly-eyed one gets back into the building, but, like, they never establish how.
Did the girlfriend bring it back?
Maybe. Maybe.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The thing is, these...
Oh, yeah. No, she did bring it back because she's like, something's up with it. Oh, yeah. We have to go back because there's more. There's always more. Billy arrives at the girlfriend's house. He realizes it's not Gizmo right the fuck away. And then the old couple that was like his friends from his hometown are stopping by to visit.
Oh, yeah, and okay, there are three likable characters, because the old guy from the first one, the one that got his head, like, scratched in the second one and everything, and he got attacked in his snowplow,
yeah,
that guy is by far the most likable character in this movie.
Yes, I related to him more than anybody else.
Yeah, I
because I wanted to kill every gremlin I saw by the end of it, too.
Yeah, and, like, so this guy's all, like, you know, like, all wigged out because he hears a noise, and they realize they have to get this thing back to the building.
Yeah.
Which,
and okay, it is the best line of the movie, which if Sophia play the clip of
I was a little jumpy here for a while. So. What was that?
It's all right, dear. I heard it too.
Of course you heard it too. What does that mean?
And Gremlins 2, remember in the apartment?
Yeah, because they're like all thinking he has PTSD and he's just hallucinating this crap.
He's just that's like right. Super shell-shocked from the war.
Yeah.
And like,
it's like, but he hears the gremlin like chirping out of the bag that they're hiding.
Mogwai.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not a gremlin yet.
Yeah.
Dumb movie.
Yeah. So we get to the Mogwai now being gremlins, and Billy's like screaming and telling everybody, like, for God's sake, you have to listen to me. We have a problem.
Yeah, he was trying to break into the building with the googly-eyed Mogwai to like. Oh, destroy it or something.
The building does close at night. Because he was trying to break in.
Yeah, I don't, like, none of this matters,
oh,
really.
Oh, wait, no, that's right. He was trying to break into the...
or, like, a restricted area.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was.
Or, like, a secured area or something. And I don't exactly remember what his plan was, if he was just going to, like, try to burn it to death or something. I don't know what he was doing with it.
I think he was trying to make sure that he shut off the water. He broke the water.
Oh, yeah, he was trying to shut off the water main so they wouldn't multiply even more.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he gets caught by a security guard, and then he gets brought up to the head of security and the, like, spy team that's, like, running the building security.
Sir, there's something weird going on in Studio D.
Punch it up on the stack.
Yeah, and they start making fun of Gremlins and start making fun of all the plot holes in the first one.
And they start at, like, rules lawyering the rules of it about the eating after midnight and shit.
And then one of them gets bit by
yeah, it, like, bursts out of his goddamn control panel and starts attacking him.
And we get the first thing that even resembles, like, a fun, like, scene in the movie.
Yeah.
And, so from there, the Gremlins go on like a rampage, and they eventually get to like the genetics lab that Christopher Lee works in. That's in the building.
They start a fire. Because they don't explain what this building does, because it also hosts like a shit ton of TV shows too, as well as being a city development office and a food court and
and like a weird spy agency.
Yeah, and a weird spy agency. Like, they don't really specify what the company does, really. They're just a multi-conglomerate, I guess.
That keeps everything in one building.
But anyways, the Gremlins are making their way through TV shows, just wrecking everything and attacking the hosts and audiences.
That's right, and then they set off the sprinklers.
They have a very racist character pop up, the Japanese guy who's obsessed with filming and taking pictures.
Right, and it's Long Duk Dong.
Yeah.
By the way, which when I think sensitivity towards Asian people, I think of Long Duk Dong.
Oh yeah, yeah, and Mickey Rooney.
Yep. So, anyways, that's going on. They get to a cooking show and they end up catching a fire, and the sprinkler system turns on. So that's how all the Gremlins multiply.
That's right. And then they get to the genetics lab. And they start drinking the gene juice, and it...
Because that's a thing!
Because that's a thing, and it morphs them into new things.
And you get brainy Gremlin.
I wanna... talk a little bit about what's going on in this room, because I think there are some fascinating ramifications here for the future. When you introduce...
Yeah, you get brainy Gremlin.
Who starts feeding their other Gremlins specific gene juices, I guess.
Yeah, and like, I mean...
He talks with a British accent, kind
of. Yeah, like kind of like one of those Ivy League kind of. He talks like an Ivy League student, and like he's just, you know, well, I think that we, you know, and it's just.
Now, my caddy chauffeur informs me that a bank is a place where people put money that isn't properly invested.
He's not a developed character, really. He's just supposed to be the smart Gremlin who's able to like translate for the audience.
None of the Gremlins are developed characters. They're all just the basic identity of Spider Gremlin, Electricity Gremlin, Vegetable Gremlin.
Lady Gremlin.
Lady Gremlin. Like, that's what they are.
Yeah, which there's Lady Jean.
Yeah, there's Lady Jean, apparently.
Which, okay, if there was Lady Jean, like, you would have a market for it. Like, believe me, but...
Yeah, also, again, they just have a genetics research lab, a food court, television studios, I don't know, probably military industrial shit.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden we get Leonard Maltin at some point bitching about the movie and, like...
The first Gremlins movie.
Yeah, and he, like, gets attacked by the Gremlins and...
It, like, just goes off for a minute and... You have a fourth wall break with Leonard Maltin.
Yeah, you have a fourth wall break with Leonard Maltin, who, let's be real, most of his opinions on movies were suspect.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he didn't like the first Gremlins, it's not, okay, it's not the most amazing movie ever.
But he also didn't like Blade Runner.
Yeah, and okay, don't get me wrong, the original cut of Blade Runner is not that great, but, I mean, the guy, like, he liked Gorgo, which is this British monster movie that I will tell you right now is, like, the worst thing you can do to yourself. So, yeah, we have the fourth wall break with Leonard Maltin. And, like, 10 seconds later.
Because, okay, so that one is, like, another television show being filmed in the building.
Where Maltin's criticizing the first Gremlins movie.
The first Gremlins movie, which is fucking insane for a number of reasons.
Yeah, it's like, first of all, it's a better movie.
And second of all, it's a weird fourth wall break that, okay, so in this universe, the Gremlins movie existed?
Like, apparently. And then it breaks the fourth wall again.
Mr. Hogan, we have gremlins in the projection booth. Could you help us?
Gremlins? In this theater? Now?
And we're transported into a movie theater where the gremlins are fucking with the film and the projection is.
And we get the Hulkster. And he comes out and he's like, you know, I'm going to beat you gremlins up if you don't turn on the movie. And
No. Brother.
Yeah. Beat you up, brother.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah, and like, Thunderclap Cherokee Antoine. Yeah. And he
threatens the gremlins to put the film back on. And then the movie just starts again.
Yeah, and the movie starts up again. And we're like, I was kind of enjoying the Hulk Hogan thing more than the actual movie.
People pay good money to see this movie.
Like, I would have just rather had Hulk Hogan yell into a projection booth for half an hour and, like, you know, wouldn't have been great, but it would have been better than this.
I mean, at least that's realistic to me.
Yeah, I can see Hulk Hogan yelling at a projection booth for no reason. Yeah, so we're getting back to the movie, and Christopher Lee, like, there's a bunch of guns, and lo and behold, another gremlin gets a gun, and it's just like the first one, except for, like, you know, not charming. And I heard somebody compare the entire movie to being, like, the bar scene and the movie theater scene from the first movie. Those were charming. They made the gremlins look human. They were watching Snow White, and they were loving it.
Yeah, weren't they eating popcorn and stuff?
Yeah. And then this movie's like, yeah, we're going to do that, but not charming. Not charming at all. And, like, not subtle at all. And just, like, you know, shove it in your face. Like somebody taking, like, a piece of food off the ground and being like, ah, eat this. It's good. You like this. And it's just, like, I mean,
the film was aggressive.
It was.
It was very aggressive.
It also made it your problem, the watcher.
Yeah, and, like, okay, so then we get Picardo getting, like, raped by the lady gremlin.
Yeah, like, and
okay, there's a lot of rape jokes in this.
Yeah, and then we get the spider gremlin, like, captures somebody in a web.
It's Billy's boss.
Yeah, Billy's boss, the one that, like,
made the hot, redhead chick.
Made him go out on a date with her and kissed him and all that shit. And then there's also the electricity gremlin who's just, like, a cartoon that appears on the screens.
Yeah.
And he somehow kills Christopher Lee.
He spins around him and electrocutes him.
Yeah. And we have the vegetable gremlin and the bat gremlin and the
bat gremlin deserves a special.
Oh, we're definitely going to get him his own little, like, so there was also the googly-eyed gremlin, which, again, his whole thing is just to look stupid.
And there was the herder gremlin, whose whole job is to look even stupider.
Yeah, he just goes, oh, yeah. And, like, those two don't get any, like, special powers or anything like that. They just wind up being themselves because they're charming like that, apparently. And so we get the bat gremlin, and he at one point flies through the wall and makes a perfect Batman symbol, which, I mean, okay. I can a cartoony bat outline would be one thing. That'd be kind of like, uh-huh. Why would it make a Batman symbol? It was kind of like, hey, you know, Tim Burton's Batman. Good movie.
Warner Brother owns both of those, so they can do it.
Oh, I know, but it doesn't mean they should.
Oh, God, no. They shouldn't have made this movie, but they could, and they did.
Yeah, so Bat Gremlin flies out into the street in the middle of the daytime because apparently he got some sunscreen gene injected into him, which I don't even know. I don't even understand.
Yeah, Brainy Gremlin injected him with bat genes and then sunscreen genes.
Yeah, so he flies out into the daytime and he's flying around in the city and he scratches that old guy from the first one and that dude covers it in cement and it flies up onto a roof and turns into a gargoyle.
Yep. concrete just hardens just like that.
Yeah, and I mean, at that point, he's like, wait, they're real? And like, he's like, I told you they're real and all this stuff. And then he starts like, I'm going to kill him. And like, he starts freaking out. And the owner of the company, he does this whole like secret escape tunnel thing. And that guy goes into the escape tunnel. And that's not really going to matter. Nope. At all again.
Not really. He's just now in the building.
Yeah, I think he saves Billy from the googly-eyed one when it's trying to drill into his teeth.
Yeah, yeah, it's trying to be... It has him strapped to a dentist chair.
Yeah, and... But yeah, that's about all it's going to come up as. And, okay, so the CEO is kind of, like, again, one of the closer things to a likable character because he's, like, naive and very childlike and, like, very just, you know... And it's also kind of scary to think, yeah, he's actually a lot like real CEOs.
Yeah.
And,
he has his whole little video, end of the world broadcast.
And he's like all choked up by how beautiful it is and everything. And like I said, this is about as close as we get to a likable character for the most part. So he escapes through the tunnel and he decides he's going to come back with a SWAT team. And Billy has this idea to trick the gremlins into thinking it's like night outside. And, oh, the spider gremlin. Sorry, I forgot to get back to that earlier. So the spider gremlin catches the red-headed boss, and...
Gizmo's just been, like, wandering the vents, I think.
No. He put on a little bandana, and he made a bow out of a paperclip and rubber band.
It was painful.
And he gets a bottle of whiteout and a pencil and makes it into, like, a petrol bomb. And you hear that Rambo clip again, though, it must become a war. And yeah. He shoots the spider gremlin with the flaming arrow and burns him.
And that's how he saves Billy's girlfriend and the redhead chick.
And there's this one point with an elevator where it, like, crushes all these gremlins. And you don't... It's like, how did the girl from the Wonder Years not get, like, smashed inside the elevator? That would have totally killed her, too.
Well, it was going so fast, you see, that she was off the ground and then stopped very suddenly. And there was a cushion of air for her to land on.
Yeah, I was going to say, nothing broke her fall except for the immediate, like, blow to the ground. And I agree. It's like a car. If you, like, stop moving when a car's coming at you, you have a cushion of air to protect you from it.
Exactly.
So, people of the world, test this theory. Go, don't actually do this, but, you know.
Don't walk in the jet.
You will fly!
And what's next for Charlie Sanders and the
orange? Kids, you can actually fly!
No, not literally.
Yes! Literally, kids, young kids, I want you to go up on your roofs right now.
Wait, what?
Fly into the night sky.
But, okay, so, yeah, getting back to the gremlin movie. Okay, so they trick the gremlins, and then the gremlins, like, start, like, heading outside. Oh, and the whole time, Long Duck Dong and Grandpa Munster are, like, filming the gremlins, and they even interview the brainy one at one point.
Because Grandpa Munster wanted to be a journalist.
Yeah.
And that was his dream.
And now we get to the closest thing to a good scene we have in the movie, which, believe it or not, our brainy gremlin friend is in it. The reporter interviewing the brainy gremlin. That's like the closest thing we get to a good scene in the movie.
One of these creatures is somehow able to talk, and he's going to talk with us right now. I think the main question that people have is, creature, what is it that you want?
Fred, what we want is, I think, what everyone wants, and what you and your viewers have, civilization.
Kinda, yeah. I mean...
It's not a good scene, but it's the closest we're gonna get.
Yeah, I guess.
It's memorable, at least.
It does stick out.
It does stick out. So, so after that, the gremlins are all, like, getting ready for, like, you know, and they're doing, like, New Year's, like, celebration and stuff, and then...
They just have, like, a 5-minute song.
Start spreading the news.
Yeah, and they turn on the sprinklers, and they're gonna, like, you know, and they have, like, they're gonna multiply and everything, and then they lift up the curtain, and they all melt.
No. The curtain won't drop, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the curtain won't drop, so...
Somehow he shoots electricity gremlin at them.
Because they trapped him in the phones earlier.
Yeah, which... Okay, but yeah.
And then it electrocutes the group of gremlins that are, like, in mid-spawn.
Yeah, like, and they all, like, get
because they're, like, spawning more because they're, like... I don't know if that's the right word, but I think spawning.
Yeah.
Is what they technically do.
And then SWAT team shows up with that, like, CEO guy in the front, and they're all like, run!
And I guess whatever ones weren't electrocuted are melting in the sun.
Yeah, and...
And that doesn't explain what happened to Electricity Gremlin, though.
Yeah, he kind of just, like, dissipated.
I guess.
And, so then we get to the end of the movie, and it just runs this end credit scene where Daffy Duck's telling us that there's nothing important to see, and we can just leave. And we keep watching it.
And he keeps telling you to just stop.
And you just keep watching it. Because you're like, well, why would they be doing this unless there's something at the end? And then at the very end, Porky does the he-bleep-bleep-bleep, that's all. And then Daffy jumps and pulls him out of the way and goes, no, I'm going to do it. And
oh, yeah, they like fight over it.
And then we sit there for like 10 minutes just like saying.
Questioning.
What the hell did we just do to ourselves? It's like the end of Last House on the Left, except for instead of, like, you know, avenging the brutal attack on our child and becoming monsters ourselves, we're just done watching Gremlins 2, and we're all just looking at each other just like they did. Like, what the hell happened?
Where do we go from here?
And, I mean, the only way I can really sum this movie up is that, like, okay, this movie's, like, insulting itself and insulting the entire franchise the entire time, like, openly. And it's insulting its audience.
Openly.
Oh, yeah.
It is insulting you for watching it.
Yeah, and it's, like, literally this thing where it's like this alcoholic father that, like, you know, I need to hit you because I hate myself.
Like, that's the thing. That's what we all came to the agreement on, is that we've never seen a movie that hates itself just as much as it hates you, the viewer.
Yeah.
It wants you and it to both suffer.
Yeah, it's like a murder-suicide thing. Like, it's like, I hate you and I hate myself and I want to put you through this.
Yeah.
It is just...
And that's where the stress came from, was that realization that the movie, it didn't care anymore.
Yeah, it hated you.
It just hated everything.
You realize the face of God is somewhere inside your body, but you can't find it, and it hates you.
And I mean, honestly, that's like, it's the only way I can describe
it. It's traumatic.
This movie. Yeah, it's like traumatic. It's like, I mean, I can't even, like, we watched a recap and we remembered that we had blacked out, like, large sections of this movie because of how much it stressed us out. Like, I've never felt that way after, like, and I mean, you know, I'm not talking about, like, watching, like, a Serbian film or something like that. Like, I'm just talking about, like, a movie that...
No, this movie was not designed to, like, build tension in the viewer. That's not what this goal of it was.
Yeah, it wasn't designed to, like, make you feel like this at the end. It was designed to, like,
It was supposed to be a silly comedy movie.
It was supposed to delight you, like the first one.
A silly kind of horror comedy.
It was like when Steven Spielberg wrote that, like, the sequel to E.T. or whatever, or the original screenplay for E.T. or whatever it was, where it was, like, way darker and more horrible.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing magical or whimsical about this.
Yeah.
Like,
it just leaves you feeling drained, like, emotionally and physically.
Oh, actually, you know, I'll talk about a much better movie than Last House on the Left. It's like the end of The Proposition when Guy Pearce sits there after, like, killing his brother. It's like, well, what do you do now? Like, he's lost everything.
Yeah.
It's like that. It was left us just emotionally drained and questioning everything.
But there were no stakes in watching it. It's a paradox.
Yeah.
It is the Gremlins 2 paradox.
Yeah, there were no stakes in watching this film, but we felt horrified after seeing it. Like
I still, just talking about it, I still feel amped up and antsy and uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm like on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, and there was going to be an alternate title for this episode, but I'll just say it at the end right now, and that is, your edgy opinion about how Gremlins 2 is actually good is totally freaking wrong.
It's not a good movie.
It's not a good
movie. It's an interesting movie. I can give it that.
Yeah.
It is an experience.
Yeah, but so was like Last Action Hero. That was an interesting movie.
Again, yeah, but that movie didn't have this sort of same traumatic effect.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, Last Action Hero is like seeing like a homeless guy like masturbating on the bus. This was like seeing Santa Claus kill a guy in front of you.
Your childhood is just gone.
Yeah, like, I can't find a better way of describing it than that. Like,
yeah, Santa just committed a hit and run in his 92 Datsun.
No, he didn't commit a hit and run. He backed up over the guy a couple times and then drove away. Like, or he just, like, got out and killed him with his bare hands or something. Like, this was traumatic.
He just picked up a big rock and dropped it on him.
Yeah, like, it was like watching The Evil Dead on mushrooms, like, levels of traumatic. Like, this is not something you should do to yourself unless you have a strong constitution.
Well, I wouldn't put it that extreme. But I would not, honestly, there are better movies to just, like, watch.
I had a better time watching Evil Dead on mushrooms. I will say that. I had a better time watching Evil Dead on mushrooms, and I didn't have that great of a time watching that.
No, that sounds like a terrible idea. I don't know why you would do that.
It was Halloween.
That sounds like a terrible idea. I don't know why you would do that.
What, it was that long time ago?
Yeah, it was like 2017, 2016, something like that. I did a bunch of mushrooms and watched Evil Dead.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. Well... Any closing thoughts on Gremlins?
I will say, from like what we've said, it's like such a meandering movie. Like, it tries to be like six different types of movie, obviously, and like I think that is the core of the stress, trying to keep everything straight.
Yeah, like definitely the movie doesn't know what it's trying to be at points.
Yeah, it has no idea. It's.
Like, it doesn't know if it wants to be a kid's movie, or if it wants to be a comedy, or, like, an adult comedy, or if it wants
horror
to be a
horror movie. Or like, it's a parody of other movies.
Yeah, or a parody movie. Like, it doesn't know where it wants to go. And that just adds to the stress, because it hates you, I think, because of that.
Yeah.
It blames you for not knowing what it wants to be.
Yeah, and it's not like Cabin in the Woods, where it's, like, this actually, like...
well thought out
parody or anything like that. It's just like,
no, Gizmo's just has a weird Rambo fascination.
It's a good thing to compare it to, I think, would be like Ready Player One, where it just talks about a bunch of way more interesting stuff, and like it itself is just telling you this really mediocre story that way overstays its welcome.
Yeah, I'd say final thought is 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd give it a 3 out of 10, because it did tell a coherent story. Well, coherent-ish.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
It is a movie.
It had a structure. It definitely, like, had a script.
I've watched movies that are not actually movies.
Yeah, I've watched movies like that with you.
Yeah, they're not actually a movie.
Yeah, me and Jacob grew up watching Mystery Science Theater, so, I mean, we've seen movies that are not actually movies. Yeah, I will say Gremlins 2 was at least a movie.
Yeah, it was actually a movie. It's an interesting watch. I definitely advise having a real big bag of weed if you plan to watch it. Like, it was stressful.
Yeah, it was just stressful.
I think that's the best we can do.
Yeah.
For a closing thought, is that movie's just stressful.
Make yourself some chamomile.
Yeah, make yourself some chamomile and just...
curl up in a nice fuzzy blanket, smoke a big bag of weed and...
pass out.
How was it?
Fine, let's go.
What?
Look, I don't want to talk about it, all right? I just want a cup of tea and some soda bread and sit down somewhere quiet.
What's going on in there? Are they doing it?
Yes, Mark. That's right. They're doing it. You really have no imagination whatsoever, do you?
Well, what are they doing then?
Dude, don't worry about them, because they sure as hell aren't worrying about you. Let's just go. Hands?
Yep. Fuck yeah. Let's go.
Big Susie's?
I don't mind where, as long as it's safe.
I just want to be in a controlled environment. Have a Coke and a tuna sandwich, just mong out to some Snow Patrol.
And, you know, throw yourself into a real discombobulation by watching Gremlins 2.
Yeah. No. Good night and good luck, everyone. And remember, keep watching the skies.